theology proper, talked about, can we know God? That was the question. Can we know God? We talked about that there appears to be two contradicting ideas given to us, that God is beyond man's comprehension, but that God is reachable, that God is knowable. Looked at the verses that make both of those points. Talked about some false views of God, some warped views of God. And then we talked about Christian theism. And then we concluded that God can be known, that God makes it possible for us to have a knowledge of Him. He makes it's impossible for us to have an exhaustive knowledge and to have a knowledge that's perfect in every way, but that He is a God that is knowable. Now, I would say that in the opening of Knowing God by J.I. Packer, Knowing God by J.I. Packer, is Packer? Yeah, I think so. In there he says that in the introduction, he says that no culture can rise above whatever its understanding is or its belief of God, and then he applies that to the individual. So, part of understanding God. So today we're going to talk about how can we know God. This is going to be an introduction to God's revelation. So, what did David in the Old Testament, what did David do in his trouble? In 1 Samuel 20, in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, it says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Psalm 34:4. Who has that? Okay. We can know God only because He Himself has chosen to reveal Himself to man. Two questions that we can raise concerning God's revelation. The first is, how has God revealed Himself to us? And the second is, how does He speak to man? Now the answer to that second question, we get a lot of answers to that. There's a lot of answers that we have to that. How does He speak to man? Pentecostals would say He speaks to man all the time. He's constantly speaking. He's speaking things, and it's pretty easy for them. They can speak. God can speak, and when you listen to them talk, even in their services, I've sat through some, and I've listened and paid attention to where one of them says that God spoke and said one thing to him, and one of them says that God spoke and said another thing to him, and the problem is they don't agree. Amongst other problems. They don't even agree. So how has God revealed Himself to us? How does God speak to man? All right. 1 Corinthians 2:11.
Man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God.
All right. Then Isaiah 55, verse 9.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
My ways, God's ways. Revelation implies something that is being unrevealed, that was veiled, or unveiled, that had been veiled at one time. And that's what we see, don't we? See a progressive revelation, and then we see it ultimately revealed in Jesus Christ and His work. That's what we see as the progression as we go through the Bible. It's kind of the reason that the Bible is even placed in the order that it is. The Bible's not necessarily in, it's certainly not in the Old Testament, it's not in chronological order, but it is in order of revelation. There is continual revelation. God has chosen to use two types of revelation. Does anybody know what those two types are? There's at least four people in here that have heard it before. Two types of revelation. There's general revelation and there's special revelation. General revelation is a revelation of truth that's in everything and nature all around us. It's in God's creation. Also, it is what is known in human consciousness and in the providential government of the world as God seeks out His will in this world. If you look at even any kind of order in the world, any of the order that you can see, God is revealed in the order that's in the world. He's revealed in the natural order of things. All right, Psalms 19, verses 1 and 2.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge.
All right, Acts 14, 17.
And yet He did not leave Himself without witness, and that He did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness.
All right, then Romans 1, 19 and 20.
And that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Not to derail too far here, but general revelation, like God created them, right? He created them male and female. I hope you can make the application there. The silliness, the attack, this idea that this whole thing with all this stupidity that's in the news, it's not about anything other than attacking God's created order. That's all that you narrow it down to. That's all that it is. It is attacking God's created order. I'm not going to get too far off on that, but the term general does not refer to the content of the revelation. It's not like it's just, so because of the content of that, the content of God's creation is incredible. It's incredibly complex. It's incredibly specific. Instead, the term is used to characterize the audience to whom that the revelation is available. It's general in the terms. It's all around us. It's what we see. It's what we interact with all the time. General revelation, therefore, is truth that God is available to all people of all time. Everybody has this. General revelation. There's one thing that general revelation can do to man. There's one specific thing in the spiritual realm that general revelation can do to man. Does anyone know what that is? That's right. It's enough for all men to be declared guilty before God. There is enough in general revelation that all men are guilty before God. All right, special revelation. This category of truth is not special because it makes known special details about God's person or nature. Rather, it is called special revelation because it is truth that is made known not generally to all men, but only to specific individuals. Special revelation is embodied in the Bible as the Word of God, the written Word, and the person of Christ, the living Word. All right, Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11.
So the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.
All right. 2 Timothy 3:16-17.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
All right, then Hebrews 4:12.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
All right, then John 1:14-18.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him.
All right, then Hebrews 1:1-2.
God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world.
All right. So 2 Timothy 3, we see all scripture. In Hebrews, we see spoken to us through Jesus Christ. The problem is not in the communication of truth. The problem is in the receiving of the truth. Romans 1:18-23.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. But the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to be made like to uncorruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things.
Anybody have anything that comes to your mind while he was reading that? Anything currently going on? How about Paul when he was in Athens and he was looking around and he looked at all the plentiful gods there were for everything. I had a gentleman that was in a Sunday school class and I taught one time, and he talked about being in another country. I think it may have been India or somewhere. And he talked about going in and you could go into the shop and have this. They actually had a craftsman there, and he would make you whatever god came to your mind, whatever you wanted, he would make it for you there. You could take a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He'd make you one that was part Buddha and part an animal or whatever you wanted. Their hearts were darkened, and then what would happen? They will just go to anything. They will grab a hold of anything. The problem is not in the communication of truth. The problem is in the receiving of truth. In his special revelation, God, in a sense, republished the truths of general revelation. He cleared them of misconception. He interpreted them with a view to the needs of man and incorporated them in his supernatural revelation of redemption. That's the cure that God gives. This is regeneration. This is sanctification. In general revelation, you find certain important truths, like the grace of God, that man is under sin's guilt and sin's curse. I'm working on a sermon about shame, how much that shame governs a person's life. Man is under sin's guilt and curse. Third, in special revelation, truths that are the important truths are the appearance and the work of Christ. Now you think, how's that general? It's general because it was known to all at the time of Christ walking here on earth, when Christ's life here on earth. The teaching about the Trinity. The glorious promise about the world to come. Scripture itself plainly teaches that the revelation of God in nature does not supply all the knowledge that a sinner needs. A sinner needs more than just, that's enough to condemn, but it's not enough to save. Acts 17 and verse 23.
I found an altar with these inscriptions. She is the unknown God. Who therefore ye eagerly worship,
and
declare I am.
There's Paul to the unknown God. And then Ephesians 3, verses 8 and 9.
Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
So general revelation in Acts 17, we see how, in if you looked at many of the gods that Paul was speaking of there, many of those gods were gods that were made, and they were made to glorify the general revelation about God. They were the general revelation we see in God, but instead they worshipped the creation rather than the creator. Many of the gods were to the god of the sun, to the god of the moon, to the god of fertility, to the god of just, you know, there's many of the different gods, not just some abomination, but something about God that was perverted and made into something that God did not intend. In other words, it didn't intend to be worshipped. So through general revelation, it's clear, though general revelation is clear in the message it presents, Scripture is what is necessary for the truth required to save someone. And Scripture is sufficient for that because the Scriptures bear witness of Jesus Christ and His work. Special revelation is addressed to a special class of sinners. Who is that special class of sinners? The ones to whom God would make known the fuller explanation of His character and His plan of salvation. What does the Bible use to describe those people? One word. Yeah, okay, there's a couple words. But they're all around the same thing, right? The elect. The elect of God. The ones He chose, His elect. General revelation is enough to damn, but it's not enough to save. Special revelation is enough to save the souls. It is what God has given to us. It is that which God has given to us to make known salvation and then to reveal to man that is in the explanation, although we're never going to know it fully and we're never going to know it perfectly, but it's the explanation to man about God's creating, his reason for creating what he has created. What is the purpose of God's creation? In general revelation, what do we see is the purpose of God's revelation, the ultimate purpose of God's revelation in general? It's to glorify him. It's to glorify himself. Everything that God has done is to glorify himself. The problem that we have is we do not know, we do not understand, we can't understand. One common thing you hear, and I was listening to a, there was a song or something, or I had read a story or something. It reminded me of how the, whenever we don't take everything that we see revealed in the scriptures and we pull this thing out and we pull that thing out, we don't see how these things work together, all glorifying God. It's in the same way of us trying to understand. There's things that are going on that for us are terrible. From our perspective, they're terrible. They're, and we see no good coming out of it. But we still have the truth in God's word that we know that all things are working together. And ultimately, God's glory is going, God will be most glorified in the things that he has done, in the things that he has allowed, the things that he has willed to happen. And anytime that we get off track, it's where we try to figure out what that is beyond what Scripture has told us. Those are the secret things that only belong to the Lord. I'm going to talk about that in the first message this morning. All right. Anybody have any comments they want to make? Next week's going to be a little longer. It won't be quite these first two, the introduction and this first lesson are a little shorter. Next week we're going to talk about God's incommunicable perfections. So, no comments, no nothing. Everybody's quiet. Need some rowdy people in here. Alright, well, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for this time to be gathered together here to hear from your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see this morning and this afternoon our need for a Savior. Those of us who are saved, Lord, those who are your people, pray you'd help us to see the need that we have to be continuing to be sanctified, to be brought closer to our Savior. That we would have a desire to be like him, that we would see the great need, the great urgency there is for the gospel to be preached to every living creature. Pray that you would, today, that you would strengthen us through our fellowship and through our time here together. I pray that you would remove any hindrances that we may have to worship this morning, any hindrances that we may have that may take our attention far away from here. Father, I pray that you would remove those from us, that we could focus on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work that he is doing amongst us. For it's in Christ's name and for his sake I pray. Amen.